Today, we'll talk about my recent Disney cruise. That's coming up on this episode 201 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 201. So today is a longer than expected episode. Today I'm going to talk about my recent Disney cruise. I did not plan on doing a podcast about it, but enough people asked that I decided that I probably should. And so I will be joined by Jen, who is the director of the travel agency that I own, Perfect Story Travel. She is the best travel agent I've ever met, and that's why I'm so happy she's the director, because I know that the agency is in good hands. And I wanted to have her here because I'm not an expert in cruising. I've only been on a few, and I needed somebody who knows what they're talking about to make sure I was giving you correct information. And we also answer questions that were submitted on Instagram, so that should be helpful if you're considering a Disney cruise, that this discussion will be of interest to you. Before we jump into that, just a reminder to follow on social media, and you just look for WW Prep School wherever you happen to be active. And as always, I will have a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up. Incidentally, I do take quick tips by email, so if you have one, please submit it to Shannon at WDWPrepSchool.com, and we use a lot of those that come in, so that is always appreciated. So without any further ado, here's my recent chat with Jen about my recent cruise. Hi, Jen.
Hello, Shannon.
Welcome to the podcast. So I wanted to have you on here today because so many people asked me to do a cruise podcast and I didn't feel qualified to do it by myself. So thank you for doing it with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. So the deal is that, as you know, I recently went on a Disney cruise, and it was sort of a personal trip. Like, I was not on Wi-Fi, and it was my 1 week of the year I was going to not work. And so I wasn't planning on doing a podcast, but I posted a couple pictures on Instagram, and everybody kept DMing me and commenting and saying, I can't wait to hear this. So I thought, well, we should probably do it then, since people asked. So I wanted to talk through it because, as you know, my history with cruises has not been the best. And so I just want to talk through my recent cruise and also answer some questions, because lots of people DM'd questions on Instagram, and I wanted to go through those with you to see if we can help some people out. Okay, so my history with cruising is pretty short, pretty small, but it led me to believe that I did not like cruising. And so I wanted to talk through that and figure out what makes the difference between a good and bad experience. So first cruise was on Carnival. Do you have a lot of experience with Carnival cruising?
Yes, I've been on several Carnival ships as well.
So the Carnival cruise was about 10 or 12 years ago. So my kids were pretty little, and I didn't like it because for the dynamics of our family, I found it difficult to do because my kids were super introverted and shy, especially at that point, and they wanted to stay in the cabin. And when we went on shore, they didn't like the schedule of, like, we unpack everything at the beach, and then before you know it, we have to pack everything back up to go on the ship. I found myself by myself a lot on the ship because I was doing, like, bingo and shows and all that kind of stuff on myself because they wanted to stay in the cabin. So for me, it was like a week of, I don't know, just being alone. alone, yeah.
It's boring.
Yeah. So I thought, oh, no, cruising's not for me. And then it was just a few years ago, we did a short Disney cruise. You were on that cruise too. It was a short cruise on one of the bigger ships out of Port Canaveral. And that one was hard because I think the short length of the cruise and the big ship made it really hard to figure out. Like, I never felt sort of settled. And yeah. And there again, the dynamics of the travel group made it difficult that time as well. So I think you know this, but this year I decided, okay, if a good rate comes up on a cruise out of Galveston, because I live in Texas, I'm going to go with a friend and I'll see what I think about it.
So sure enough, a good rate came up in December. Whole week, a Christmastime cruise out of Galveston. So we drove down. And based on my limited previous experience, I wasn't expecting a whole lot. But I'll just tell you right now, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So
I was so happy to get that text.
Yes.
That said, I think I like the cruise.
Yes. So yeah, whenever Key West was one of our stops on the cruise, which obviously is in the United States. So I had cell connection. And one of the first things I did was text you to tell you, I think I like this. It was incredible. It was incredible. And so I thought it would be interesting just to kind of figure out what made it better. So I think.
And it's great that you as an adult felt that it was incredible because you had no children with you. And this is a children-based, if you think about it, cruise line. So yes. That's also interesting.
It is interesting. I was worried about that because at this stage of life, I don't seek out, other than the fact that I'm at Disney World all the time, I don't seek out like kid family-friendly things because I don't have to as much anymore. So I was worried about that. But a lot of the questions that were submitted on Instagram talk about that, and they want us to kind of go into what you can do without kids. So I'm excited to talk about that because I was worried about it too. Okay, so week-long Christmas cruise. First of all, since I've already talked about the dynamics of the people on the ship, I'll just say going with a friend that I was very compatible with on the ship made a huge difference because you have to kind of have the same flow. Like you have to either be willing to do things together or you have to be want to just stay in the cabin the whole time. Like whatever it is, I think it kind of needs to be similar or else you'll be by yourself a lot. So we did have that. Plus, like, I really like meeting people. So the friend that I was with was really interested in meeting people, like, at the different events that we went to or at dinner or whatever. So just, like, from a personal standpoint, that worked out really well. What else? Oh, the ship was smaller. So how do you feel about the smaller ships versus the larger ships?
Okay, so I personally like the larger ships, but the reason that I like the large, I've actually, just to give my background, I've sailed on all four of the Disney cruises, the cruise ships that are currently sailing. And I personally like the larger ships, but the reason why I like the larger ships are because of the motion. I find that the smaller ships have a little bit more motion. And just as a background for me as a person, I get extreme motion sickness. So cruising is not always the best vacation option for me, but I still do it. My family loves to cruise. So I just put a patch on or take motion sickness pills and suck it up and go with my family. And I still have a really, really good time, but the motion is a big issue for me. So I tend to lean towards larger ships just because the motion is less on a large ship. And then honestly, I started on the smaller ships, of course, because that was what was available at the time when I started cruising. My daughter was 3 and she's 20 now. So the first cruise we took her on at 3 was the Magic. So it was the much smaller ship, which was it, to us at that time, it was huge compared to the Royal Caribbean cruise ship that I was on, which was my first cruise. I thought that ship was just, when you walked into the main area, it was just a huge ship. But then once the Dream came out and I went onto the Dream for the first time, then it just, it's a whole nother ballpark because it's even larger and the atrium level area when you walk in the ship is just so much bigger than compared to the smaller ships.
It is. And I can totally see where you're coming from on the motion sickness with the smaller ships. And especially because we were going in and out of Galveston. So a lot of times, as I understand it, the captains try to navigate around storms and things. But when you're going in and out of Galveston, there's no choice. You just have to go in it. And so that was a factor at the end of our trip. Motion sickness aside, I personally found the smaller ship much more manageable. Like I really felt like, oh, I know where I'm going. And every time I had something to do, like a game or a movie or, you know, dining, I knew exactly where to go. There was no issues. It just felt like I was in a small town for a week. And that felt good to me to know like where I was going for the week. I felt like I could relax because I sort of had a handle on things.
But maybe you felt that way because the dream that you were on was only 3 nights.
Yes.
Had you been on that 7 nights, then maybe, or 5 nights, maybe you would have felt that same way with the dream.
Yes, I do think that is true. I would say if people want to do this, I mean, the smaller, the 3-day cruises, I cannot imagine being on the big ship and feeling ever relaxed. It's just you. I mean, there's no way. It's just too much.
I feel like 3 is definitely too short, because by the time you get the feeling of where you know where you're going on the ship, it's time to get off.
That's right.
I feel the 4 is kind of a little bit of a medium, but the 5, I think, is a 5 and 7 are a good time period. I also did a 10 night on the Fantasy, and that to me was too long. Mm-hmm. After a while, I felt like I was going to the same bar, the same restaurant, the same. It was just everything was the same. And that was just too long. I loved the ports of call. I would do them again. But the actual 10 nights was way too long for me.
Yeah, I can totally see that. After 5 nights on the ship this time, I thought, okay, I'm not tired of being here, but I feel like I've really had a chance to do a lot. So I can totally see where 5 or 7 would feel comfortable for a lot of people. I also think, I think the captain of our, not the captain, but the cruise director, she mentioned something about when you have a smaller ship and you go to Castaway Key, the island feels almost empty, you know, just because there's fewer people to have to share the chairs and all the facilities and stuff. And so, you know, there's definitely pros and cons to the different size ships, it seems like, but both give good experiences. I just personally really enjoyed the smaller one. So maybe someday I'll do the bigger one again and hopefully for more than 3 days. What else? The food is amazing on Disney cruise ships. I think it's so delicious. And the rotational dining I find very interesting, because you get to change dining rooms every night. On a 7-day cruise, you end up doing, there's three dining rooms. And so you end up repeating them, but every night is a little bit something different. And your servers follow you, in case anyone doesn't know how Disney cruises work. Your servers get to know you and they follow you from restaurant to restaurant. You are often assigned to people to sit with at dinner. In your experiences on cruises, have you ever just been with your family, or have you always been assigned with other people?
The 10 night that we went on, the group of people that I went with, there was enough of us that they had us at one table. But prior to that, when it's just been my family, we've always been assigned with other people. And now, just as a small background again, due to my motion sickness, my husband and daughter have actually cruised more than I have. They're a higher status with Disney than I am. Shocker. I still book their trips and plan their trips, but they actually cruised on their own, usually over spring break, little father-daughter trips on their own. They would always be paired with families that were similar to them. So single parents, daughter, you know, that kind of situation. Another thing that I always did prior to is, on the different, there's a lot of different message boards out there, a lot of different Facebook groups out there, and you can always try to find one for your particular cruise. When my daughter was smaller, because I have an only child, I would always try to find one that had a board that children could join, and they could meet and communicate with other children before they actually got on the ship. Mm-hmm. So like my daughter met somebody in Texas one time, she met somebody in England one time, and then when we were at the port, then the families would meet. So like my husband would meet their parent, you know, the other girl's parents, and then that whole awkward first day moment would go away, because they already knew each other. They've been communicating via email, through text messages, you know, any kind of thing like social media, all that kind of stuff. So when they got on the ship, it was like they had their best friend already. And then so in those cases, we would always link the reservation so that they would sit together for dinner as well. So I've had all three experiences. I've had it where it's just been our group. I've had it where Disney placed us with other people. And then I've had where we've met people that we didn't know prior, but we linked our reservations together so that we would be together.
That's good to know that there's different ways to go about it. I do think, like you said, that when you were assigned to people, that Disney does try to pair you with people that are similar. One of my fears was that I was going to get paired with a family with little kids, because we had the later dining. There's two different dining times. And if you have little ones, you're more likely to go to the earlier one, I think, because 8:15 is a really late time to start having dinner when you're a little kid. And I just didn't want, you know, cranky kids at our table. But we were assigned to other adults. It was adult men and their mothers all traveling together. So there were six of us. And we ended up having a really great time and getting to know each other throughout the week. And that worked out really well. But, you know, that's always a roll the dice because you could be assigned to people that you don't like to talk to, which would be a risk. But it made a huge difference for us.
And honestly, I get a mix on that when I book cruises for clients. I get a mix. Like, I'll get some that'll say, we only want our table. And then I'll get some that'll say, we want other tables because they want to meet people. So it's a sort of a mix with different people. I mean, I know what we prefer, but as far as other people that approach me, it's never the same. It's always like it's a mix of people. So everybody's different. Some people don't want to eat with other people at a table, you know, for an entire week that they don't know. But I find it fun. I find it interesting. I find that you end up running into each other at several different places on the ship or on the excursions or on the islands. And I just think it makes it fun to have a familiar face somewhere.
That's exactly right. And the table mates that we met, we saved them seats at different game times, and we got together and had champagne one time. And so it sort of, to me, broadens your experience because there's more people involved. Anyway, so the dining is incredible on the Disney ships, and the service is the best I've ever had in my whole life. I don't know if all servers do this, but our servers actually cut our food. not every meal, but like if it was like shrimp that needed to be peeled or lobster or something like that, yes. They did it for us. And it just, like, where else are you going to get that? It was shocking to me.
Yeah, I've had that happen, especially, well, lobster. I would never order shrimp. I'm from Maryland, so I would never order shrimp outside of Maryland, but lobster for sure, they would definitely take it out of the shell. But I see that on all cruise lines. I've seen that on Carnival and Royal Caribbean as well. I don't know if it's they want to help the people or maybe they don't want the shells to go flying across the room. I'm not really sure why they do it, but they do like to assist the guest if they're having any kind of difficulty. But I have seen that as well. I do find the food, I have a food allergy. If most of your readers probably already know that about me. But so my food situation is just slightly different when it comes to the norm. So I have hit or miss on my cruises. Sometimes I'll have a great cruise and the food is phenomenal and my staff is great and they do a great job with my special needs. But then I've had cruises where they've been horrible and don't listen and send me desserts like fruit. And if you know anything about me, fruit is not a dessert in my opinion. So that's a breakfast meal. So I would prefer something besides fruit for dessert. Or they would just bring me a dessert and not tell me what they're bringing me. And sometimes I won't like it. So it's just hit or miss for me when it comes to food. On our last cruise, we found, with the way Disney Cruise Line works, Cabanas, which is where the buffet is on the top. This does not happen on the first night or the last night. But in the middle of the week, you can actually eat at Cabanas. It's a service. It's not buffet. And you have waiters that, you know, serve you. It's the same menu that's in the dining hall. So if you decide, and especially for adults only, this is a good option as well. If you decide you don't want to go to the dining hall, or if you're because you're on the longer cruises and you don't want to go to the same place again, you can always go up to Cabanas and sit. And honestly, we ended up doing that four nights in a row and we had the same wait staff each time. The nice thing with Cabanas, I find the food is better there because the food service, the kitchen is right there. Whereas in your main, it's created in mass production because the kitchen's not near where the dining halls are. So I felt that the food was a little fresher, a little more seasoned. I love the wait staff that we had on the Fantasy that time in Cabanas. They were funny. I felt a little bit more relaxed. And I have to tell you, the view was beautiful and breathtaking because you're out looking at the water. You're not in the room with no windows. So I like both. I like the rotation places and I like the theming of them. But I also like to go up to Cabanas one or two nights just to get a feel for who's up there and what they're offering and just to have a nice view for dinner.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We did not do that, but I like that that's an option, especially on the longer cruises, because you do start repeating the dining rooms over and over again.
I do have clients, too, that have older children. that, when I say older, I mean, you know, late teens. And if they want to go to Paulo's or Remy's or any of those places, their kids will go to Cabana's to eat instead of the main, because they don't want to sit at a table by themselves. So if the parents decide to go to one of the adult only meals, I'll tell them about Cabana's, and usually they'll send their children to Cabana's for that night. And this is late teens. I mean, I wouldn't send a 10-year-old up to Cabana's by themselves, but for sure a 17-year-old can definitely go up there by themselves.
Right. But that is one of the nice things about the cruise, is that kids do have more independence than they might otherwise. You know, if teenagers want to eat by themselves, fine. If middle schoolers want to roam the ship with their new friends, fine. Like, that's a perk. Okay, one more thing on the dining rooms. They are very nicely themed in general, and often offer some entertainment. And that is part of the charm of the DCL ships, I think, too. So, for instance, the ship we were on had Tiana's Place, which is new, right? Tiana's Place? Okay.
That was part of the renovation for that when it went into dry dock, yes.
And everything is amazingly themed, just like in The Princess and the Frog, the menus, the plates, everything. And Tiana is on stage. They play music. There's Mardi Gras celebration. It's really, really, really amazing. Like, that is the place I took the most pictures and sent them back to my kids. My kids love Tiana. So anyway, Tiana's Place is really lovely. And then Animator's Palette is on every ship, right?
Yes. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So Animator's Palette is super charming. The walls have these, like, it looks like sketches on them. And I'm not going to ruin the surprise of things that happen in there, but I'm just going to say that things are animated on the walls, and it is so charming. Like, I can't imagine anyone not loving it. It's incredible. Well,
even the items on the table, like, you have the little painter's buckets, and mm-hmm. then they'll have the little knives are paintbrushes and stuff like that. So even the theming just on the table settings are beautiful too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All around, just an incredible experience. So not only is the food and service good, but the experience is often very good in the dining rooms. You already mentioned Cabana's, which is, you said in the evening, is like a table service restaurant. I'm going to use Disney World language just to help explain it. It's like a table service in the evening. But then for lunch, it's like, it's a buffet, like a quick service. So really easy just to pop in there and grab food. And it's good. I think the food's really good there.
I do too. And honestly, having a food allergy, I never have a problem with Cabana's either. So it's always, you know, if anybody has a food allergy and they're thinking about a cruise, it's no matter if you're sitting down at, we'll use Disney World terms, table service, or if you're sitting at the buffet, you're always going to have somebody to help you.
Yeah. And then what else? There's a couple little places outside of what we've talked about where you can grab food, like a little deli here, a little thing by the pool. Like, there's always something. There's ice cream, soft serve ice cream, always available.
Right. It depends on the ship that you're on. You have Luigi's, and then just a little, you know, different carry out pickup service. My husband's favorite is to go to the soft serve ice cream and mm-hmm. fill his cup up with that, and then go over to the soda station and have a Coke float or a root beer float. Mm-hmm. That's one of his favorite snacks to do. I think he lives at that soft serve ice cream station. The larger ships also have the little candy ice cream store. Sweets to you. Mm-hmm. One nice, and I'm not sure if everybody knows about this, you can go in the afternoon and you can actually pick your dessert for your children, and they'll deliver it to the table. So that's always a fun thing to do. So if you want to have a special dessert for your child, if you go in there during the day and you fill out a little form, tell them what you want, and they actually bring it to your table.
And that's on the bigger ships?
Yes, that's on the Fantasy and the Dream.
Okay. That's cute and good to know. Unlimited ice cream is a huge perk of most cruise ships, probably, but definitely yes. DCL. Okay, and then the only other food thing I can think of is room service, which is you can have room service at any time, and it's free, but you should tip.
Yes, correct. I do room service every day, actually, for breakfast. It's not breakfast. I do it for, I like to have hot tea. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm a tea drinker. So I like to have hot tea, but when I like to have my hot tea first thing in the morning. I need something to drink and something on my stomach as soon as I wake up. So what I do is the night before I put the little card out and I usually order toast or something light, fruit, because I'll eat fruit for breakfast with my tea. And I always get a cabin with a veranda. So I always like to go out on the veranda in the morning and drink my tea and, you know, watch the water and the sun and everything. So I do, I actually have room service every day when I'm on a cruise, only in the morning. I think only once or twice I've had it later in the day, but it's mainly been for saltines and green apples if I've been nauseous. Mm-hmm. But other than that, oh no, I'm mistaken. When my daughter was 3 and we were on our first cruise, our luggage was actually left at the Polynesian, so we didn't have luggage the first night. So we actually ordered room service in because we didn't have clothing to wear to the dining hall for that night. Even though they told us we could still go in our shorts, we didn't. We didn't feel comfortable. So we ended up ordering room service, and the three of us just had a little picnic in the room. It was the same food that was on the menu, so it was fine, but we have ordered room service that way. And yes, you do tip. You do tip for that. So I would always bring some extra ones if you're going just to tip that kind of, if you wanted to do $1 or $2, you know, $2 or $3 maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on what you order.
I overheard a dad on the ship saying that they were at some event on the ship, like a dance party type thing, and his daughter just fell asleep right in the middle of it. And it was like 6 o'clock in the evening, and she was just exhausted. And he said, it wasn't too bad because we just went back to the room. She went to bed. I ordered room service and watched a movie because there's lots of movies that are playing on the TV. And he found it just all to be really convenient because he didn't miss out on much by his daughter falling asleep. So anyway, it's very convenient to do room service. I also wanted to talk about the dress code. People get kind of nervous about the dress code because they have like semi-formal and formal nights. Those are really just suggestions. You don't have to do it if you don't want to.
Yeah, Disney is not as strict as some. Honestly, I've been on Carnival, Royal Caribbean, and Disney all, and I haven't found one that has been super strict as far as dress code. When we were on the Fantasy for that 10 night, I have to tell you, there was a family at the table next to us. We actually spoke to the lady and she told us that they brought 9 suitcases on board for their family. And every night they dressed in a different theme. Now, this was in the middle of the summer, so it wasn't Halloween. So it was just they decided every night that as a family, they were going to dress up as a different theme. So one night they were like Little Mermaid and somebody was a different character from Little Mermaid. I mean, every night they had something different. One night they were Cinderella. We couldn't wait to go to the dining hall just to see what they were going to dress up as next because it was just so much fun. But she brought 9 suitcases with all their costumes in it. So I've seen that. I've seen people come in jeans, and then I've seen people wear formal wear and tuxes and stuff. I've seen all sorts of different attire.
Yeah. And if you're not into that, then you don't have to do it if you don't want to. But if everyone does, it makes for nice pictures and, you know, yes. Everyone looks really nice who participates in it, but it's really optional. The exception, though, is the nicer dining restaurants that you can reserve, right? Palo and Remy.
Yes. Yes. You do have to. There is a dress code for both of those that you do have to follow. And they're adult only. Even the brunch that's at Apollo, it's the same thing. So there is a dress code for both of those. So if you plan on doing either dining option, please make sure that you adhere to the dress code because they will provide shoes and or coat if needed. And I don't know if anybody wants to wear somebody else's shoes. So
yeah, that would be weird.
I'd plan for that.
we did do Palo on the ship, and per your suggestion, we did brunch because you have a choice between brunch and dinner. And we did brunch, and it was lovely. It's certainly optional because you can eat in the other dining places if you want. But everyone was more dressed up, and the service was incredible. There was a really great view, but it's definitely optional. But you do have to abide by the dress code there. So,
and if you're prone to motion sickness, just warning, you feel a little bit more of the motion in both of those restaurants, in my opinion, than you would in the regular dining hall.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. We did it towards the end of our trip, and the end of our trip was when things were getting rocky anyway. So that definitely intensified it. Okay. I think we've covered dining. Let's talk about entertainment on the ship, stuff to do. So before your trip, there are things you can sign up to do on the ship that are like entertainment related. And yeah. I think this is kind of confusing because a lot of it you don't have to sign up for beforehand, most of it. But there are just a few things, I guess because they're more popular or whatever, you sign up for them ahead of time. But there, you don't have to pay for them. There, it's just like a ticketed event sort of thing. And if you're not signed up, you don't get the ticket, the free ticket. I'm trying to think of which ones we did. There was the Frozen. It was called a Frozen Gathering, which basically just meeting Anna and Elsa.
And they have princess. They have a princess one as well.
Yes, we did the princess one. There's a Disney Junior one. What else? Can you think of anything
else? If you're on the Star Wars or the Marvel cruises, they have their own as well. Like you have BB-8 or just recently, and I apologize, I'm not a big Marvel person. I think it was New York something. I can't remember what the name of it was, but you get different meet and greets with the Marvel characters as well. So if you're on one of the specialty cruises, they have different ones for the different characters as well.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, in general, it seems like a good idea just to sign up for any of those that sound interesting to you as soon as you check in or whatever, right? Before your cruise. That way you get those tickets because there's limited slots available.
Yeah. But don't be discouraged if you do not, because if you're in the category where you have not sailed before, so you're at the bottom category as far as booking your activities, all the platinums and the golds and the silvers have all booked prior to you. So if that is the case, try not to get too discouraged. Yes, it is a bummer that you couldn't get it when you were trying to, but when you get on the ship, if you go to guest relations, you can see if there's any availability while you're there as well, because that's always an option. So if you see that it's sold out online, try again once you're on the ship.
Okay. Good tip. But most stuff is you don't have to sign up for beforehand. And right. So there's a Disney Cruise Line app that before your trip, you can use it to like count down to your trip. But on the boat, it becomes your lifeline to everything. It has all the character meets, all the shows, the menus for the restaurants, all that stuff in there. And there are tons of things to do that you don't sign up for.
Yeah.
And you can,
a lot of different mixologies and stuff too. So keep an eye out for those if you're doing adults only, or even if your kids are in the kids zone. Because I can tell you from experience, with having an only child, I didn't think my daughter would go into the kids zone by herself, but she didn't want to leave. And I hear that a lot from a lot of my clients. They think that, oh, my child's not going to go in there, but they're going to stay with us. But then when I talk to them, when they get back, they're like, we didn't even see the kids. So that happens quite often. So, you know, if you have an afternoon free, check out a mixology or champagne tasting, like you said, you went to any of that kind of sort, or the trivia. It's always fun.
Yeah. And what worked really well for us is to go in the app and there's a heart next to the activities and you can heart the items, like favorite them. And if they sound good to you, and it'll add it to your plans so that you have one place where all the things that you like are listed. And then the app will remind you, hey, this event is starting in 15 minutes or whatever it is. And there's a lot to do. So it's helpful to kind of narrow it down and formulate a plan. But most that kind of stuff doesn't require a sign up. You just show up and it's fun. So we did things like trivia, which you mentioned. There was something like the Newlywed Game. There was something like Wheel of Fortune. There was something that was similar to Let's Make a Deal. There's a like piano bar type thing where they just take requests and play piano music. Like there's just so many things to do. So it's really fun. And I would suggest that. One thing I want to mention though is the nightly shows. Okay, so earlier when we were talking about dining, I mentioned there's an early dining time and a late dining time. And there is a main stage where they have a show and they do it twice so that no matter what your dining time is, you can see the show, right? Yep. And it's a little bit different every night, but sometimes they are stage productions that are kind of Broadway quality. And it feels, it's amazing to me that all this exists on a ship.
I get amazed that they can perform with the ship moving, but that's just me. And honestly, sailing on Carnival, Royal Caribbean, and Disney, the performance on Disney is top notch. You cannot compare their theater performances to any other cruise line out there.
Yeah, amazing. There was a Frozen show that I didn't have a lot of expectations for it because a lot of the performers on the ship play lots of roles. Like you might be seeing them in you know, a show during the day in the lobby and then that night on the stage doing something else. You know, they play a lot of different roles, but for the Frozen show, they definitely were hired for those positions and they were amazing. I was totally blown away. There's also like just different variety acts. Like there was a juggler and like, you know, magicians and stuff like that. And on our ceiling is when Mary Poppins came out, the new one. So that's the same theater where they premiered. We got to watch it the night before it premiered in the United States. Or yeah. So like at 11 p.m.
No matter what, whenever you go on a sailing, if there is a Disney movie that is going to premiere somewhere near your sailing date, most likely, I mean, I'm not guaranteeing this, but most likely it will premiere early on your particular, on your cruise, because Disney will do that quite often.
Yeah.
My husband loves that. That's when all the kids go to an 11 o'clock nightly movie.
Yes.
To make sure that they see that.
Yeah. It's a huge perk. I've even thought about like when there's a lot of movies coming out, you know, this year, and I've even thought, oh, I'd like to be on a ship when that comes up, because then I could see it. But it's amazing. Like a lot of us were wearing our pajamas and brought our snacks and, you know, we're watching Mary Poppins before everybody else. I don't know. It was amazing. So
one of the years we went, it was Pirates of the Caribbean had came out. So we got to see that early, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was when I just did my 11 night. I was trying to think what the premiere was, but it was a movie that had just came out. Like I said, it's not a guarantee, but it's definitely something that normally happens, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. So my suggestion for people going on a cruise is to generally plan on doing that nighttime show that's opposite your dining time. So we would do the 6:15 show and then go do like a trivia or something. And then 8:15 was our dinner. And that was every evening pretty much.
Yes.
But
if you have Palo, or like I was saying, you go to Cabanas and your schedule is just slightly. So say for instance, one of your nights you went to Palo instead of your dinner, you can go to the later show. Mm-hmm. If you had an earlier dining time. So it's not like you're locked into that particular dining time or that show time. If you decide to go do something else, then you can go see the show either before or after your dinner.
Yeah. Nice to have that option. I was frustrated because one of the guys at our dining table did not understand this show dining schedule. We kept talking about these shows that we were going to. And he's like, what are you guys talking about? Like he, for some reason, never grasped it. But I want to make sure everybody that's listening knows that the main stage has a show every night. And usually that is worth seeing before or after dinner.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Basically, all the cruise lines, I want to say, have some sort of main show that they put, that they have for each sailing. So no matter what cruise line you're on, it's basically the same way. If you're doing a late dining, usually you go to the earlier show, or vice versa. If you're doing early dining, you go to the late show.
Yes. I'm trying to think of what else to talk about. There are port days, obviously. Yeah. And on our particular sailing, we had Key West, Castaway Key, and Nassau. Key West and Castaway Key were lovely. Nassau, not so much, but you know, that happens.
When we do the shorter cruises, and Nassau is one of our stops, my family, we don't even get off the ship unless there's something specific that we want to go see. I have a cruise getting ready to come up and we're going to Nassau. So we're going to go to Sandals, but it's adults only. So we're going to go to Sandals for the day. But other than that, normally we stay on the ship. If you have children, it's a great time for your kids to take advantage of the ship being a little bit less crowded. They have a little bit more fun on the, if you're on the other ship, the aqueduct. So I would definitely think of that as an option. If it's something that you don't see that looks appealing in Nassau, just stay on the ship. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's just a little bit less crowded, and you can try to sign up for the meet and greets that you normally, because everybody wants to do them on the sea days. So if you can sign up for the little meet and greets with the characters on the Nassau day, that's always a good option as well.
Yeah, it would be easier to get into on those days. Castaway Key. Let's talk about Castaway Key.
Favorite.
It's Disney's own island. So I believe we had all day, maybe 8 to 5-ish, something like that. I can't remember. First of all, you don't have to get off the ship right when it starts, like 8 a.m. Yeah. if you don't want to. We didn't. We waited. But once you're on the island, the food is included just like it is on the ship. And yeah. so that makes it easy. It's just an extension of your cruise experience. Because we did not have kids, we went to the adult beach. There are trams on the island that you can take to get over to the adult beach. And it's very quiet. it's very quiet. Per your suggestion, we rented bikes. And that was I'm not a sit on the beach kind of person. And it wasn't super warm anyway. So it wasn't comfortable to be wet in a swimsuit. But it was perfect for bike riding. And so we rented, they have cruiser bikes and they have paths on the island. And there was I almost said a lighthouse. That's not what it is. It's like a tower that you can climb. The bike path takes you out to the, I don't know, what's it called?
I don't even know, honestly.
It's a tower. Like you climb a few flights of stairs and it gives you a good view.
You have really good view.
Yeah, yeah. But the bike
break even map and see what it says. If it's got a name, I don't even know.
I can't remember, but the bike path takes you there and yes. It's nice to be able to get on the cruiser bikes and just go around. It's an hourly rental and we covered all of the paths. We did some of the paths multiple times and, they have water along the way. If it gets hot, you can stop for water.
Well, the one thing to keep in mind is it's an island. So there are no hills really. So you're not biking up a massive hill. So, you know, you're just taking your time and strolling along. It is something that is a good, all of your family likes, you know, can ride a bike, of course, it's a good family adventure for sure.
It is. And like, if you have 8 hours on the island, you know, you could spend one of them doing that, you know, if you don't want to just sit on the beach or whatever.
My family, we always would do it early on in, you know, especially if we went during one of the hotter seasons, we would do it early on in the morning as soon as we were on the island. And then that way, when we were finished, we could all jump in the water and cool off. But yeah, that's usually how my family would do it.
So the path where the bikes go is also, I think, the same path for the 5Ks, right?
Yes.
So I don't know anything about the 5Ks, but they do them every day, right?
Yes, and they're free. They're free, but you need to sign up for them as soon as you get on the ship. So if you go to guest relations, and basically guest relations is in the same, when you get on the ship, if you go to the right, there's guest relations. Go to guest relations, sign up for the 5K. It's free. And they only take so many runners. So definitely sign up for that if that's something that you enjoy doing.
And they get to disembark first, I think, right?
Yes. They do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On Castaway
Key Day. Yes, they're already on the ship. I mean, they're already on the island before you even get off the ship. If your family, like my husband would always do it, and sometimes I wouldn't, depending if our daughter was small or not. So he would go off and do it. And as my daughter and I were exiting the ship to go to the island, he was coming off to get back to the room to change his clothes and to come back. Mm-hmm. Is normal. That's the nice thing about Castaway Key is that you can come on and off the ship anytime you need. So if you need to change your clothes or you forgot something, it's an easy walk just to get back on the ship and get what you need and then get back off.
Yes.
One thing I wanted to bring up, and I didn't ask you where you were located on the ship. When you docked at Castaway Key, could you see the island or did you see the opposite side? Did you see the pier or did you see the island itself?
We saw the island.
Okay. So then you should have been on the starboard side because it backs in. No, you were on the port side because the ship backs into Castaway Key usually.
Okay.
The side of the ship were you on?
I don't know. I can't remember. But we could see the island. Like, because when we were in our room before we like got on Castaway Key, we could see Castaway Key.
Okay. That's to me. I always try to put my clients on that side of the ship as well because it honestly is the best view because when you, especially if you have a balcony or an ocean view cabin, it's perfect because you get up and you can just see the whole island. But I have to say, I've been on the other side as well, on the pier side. And that is, my family found that to be super fun to watch as well. They loved watching them hook the ship up to the pier because they actually shoot the ropes out. It's kind of funny. You also see the workers that are from the island next door coming over on their boats. So it's always fun to watch that as well. So it's a lot of fun either side, but I can tell you on the Dream or the Fantasy, if you're on the side that you're viewing the island, if you happen to take advantage of the rainforest package, which I'm sure we'll talk about that at some time, mm-hmm. The spa actually faces the island as well. So we would always, when we got back on the ship, it's always nice to go up to that area where the rainforest, where you have the heated tiled chairs, and you can watch pull away from the island, which is beautiful.
I believe that's only on the bigger ships, though.
Right. It's only on the bigger ships. That's right. The Dreamer or the Fantasy.
Right.
Because the smaller ones, the spa, it does not have the outside windows like it does on the larger ships.
Yes. There is a question about the rainforest pass, so we'll talk about that when we get to it. Okay. What else is there? I don't know.
There's my key. If you are a platinum or gold status, you have the chance. And the reason I say their status is, unless your cruise is not sold out, but the cabanas are always really nice to rent. Mm-hmm. That's an option as well. Usually if you're silver or below, they sell out pretty quick. So it's kind of tough to get them. But that's always an option as well if you ever want to think of having your own little private area. You have your own little beach area, and it's so nice. You have somebody that brings you drinks and all that stuff into your little cabana. The one time that we had went, it actually rained the whole time. So it was nice. We just sat up in the cabana and played games and stuff because it was raining while we were on Castaway Cay.
Yes. And it is nice to have your own place to be, because if you don't have a cabana, you have to just carry your stuff everywhere. from the beach to lunch to the bike riding place to whatever. But yes, if you can afford it and you can snag one of those, then that's a fun option.
And another thing, you can also sign up when you're on the ship. And what they do is, if somebody cancels, because a lot of the concierge rooms, actually, they hold them for them as well. So if you are interested in one, you can definitely put your name on a list when you get on the ship, and they'll call you if one becomes available. So there could be a chance even that the day before you find out that you have one. So if that's something that you really want to do, always, if you can't do it online, try again when you get on the ship.
Good tip. You are full of tips. You're like a human quick tip. Okay. Is there any other big topics that we haven't talked about that before we dive into all the questions? Do you know?
I don't think so.
What about the cabins, the actual rooms?
Yeah.
One thing I want to mention is, I just want to reiterate what you said earlier. It was you talked about ordering breakfast and going and eating on your veranda. If you can afford it, I highly recommend the verandas, because they become like an extra room. The cabins are small, like on all cruise ships. They're, you know, compared to a hotel room, they're a little smaller. And it's nice to have the extra space. In addition to just like, it's nice to look at the water. And it's nice when you're in port to be able to see, you know, the buildings. And we went out and looked at the stars, because it's, you know, you're in the middle of the ocean, so there's no light to block the view of the stars. And it's nice, if you can afford it, to have a veranda. The setup of the rooms, it's nice to have a curtain between the sleeping areas. There's different cabins, so I'm just talking about the one that we had, but there's a fold-out couch and there's a bed and there's a curtain between, so you get a little more privacy that way.
Some have split baths, to where there's a toilet and sink in one, and then in the other is a shower and a sink, which is helpful if you have children, because, you know, somebody can always use the restroom while somebody's in the shower as well. Out of all of the cruise lines that I've been on, and I normally do book a cabin with a veranda or a balcony, only because of my motion issues. I like to see the horizon. So that's what I book. So out of all the cruise lines that I've been on, Disney will be by far the largest stateroom that you'll probably find, unless you upgrade yourself on other cruise lines to be like suites or one bedrooms or something of that sort. But for the most part, if it's just a standard family stateroom that has a balcony or an ocean view, Disney is going to give you more space, because they actually created them for families. They had families in mind when this was created, which is why they accommodate for families. So the beds are positioned to where you can put your luggage underneath when you empty them. Mm-hmm. You have the split baths. So they actually thought of everything that you would need for a family, and that's how they created them. And there are some, if you have children, because I get this question a lot with Walt Disney World, where the kids have to have separate beds. And a cruise is the perfect opportunity for that because you can, they have some rooms that the sofa will fold to make a twin. You have the upper berth, which is the bed that comes out of the ceiling that folds down for a twin. And then some of them have Murphy beds that fold down to be a twin. And then, of course, you have the bed for the adults. So you have then, so if you have three children that like to sleep on their own, that's perfect because each one has their own bed.
Yes, that is such a good point. Because in a normal hotel room with two beds, it gets a little tricky sometimes.
Yes.
trying to force kids to sleep together when that's not comfortable to them. So very good point. I found the cabins to be very comfortable and a lot of the organization space, like you mentioned, and the split bathrooms was really great and all of that. So I really like that part of it. Let's start going through the questions because we have a lot of them. Okay. First question's from Dale. He said, is there enough to do on the smaller ships for first-time Disney cruisers who could potentially spend much less for one of the huge ships from a competitor? The smaller ships tend to leave from the much closer departure cities, possibly saving some money. I assume my kids won't take advantage of the much-beloved kids' clubs, and they'll be attached to us like barnacles the entire time. Or should we find a way onto the larger ships?
I personally, first of all, I mean, I know that Dale, you might think that your children might stick to you, but from experience, when they see the kids club, it's really hard to keep the kids out of it. So hopefully that'll be the case. I think with the new redo on the two smaller ships with Rapunzel and of course the dining hall that Shannon spoke about, the two smaller ships have such cute themes right now. So if the smaller ship is economically better for you being closer to where you live, I say go for it. Honestly, there is a lot to do on any one of the four. I don't think the size really matters as far as entertainment or activities or anything of that sort.
No. And like I mentioned earlier, I was on a small ship and we had plenty to do all the time.
I think it's just theming, really. It's just the theme of the ship, I think, is different.
So let's talk about kids clubs a little bit because you and I have grown children, but I know that you're very familiar with the kids club. So one thing you suggested, one of the few suggestions I didn't do that you mentioned was to tour the kids clubs. I don't have little ones, but if I did, I would think that as soon as you board the ship, touring the kids clubs would be a good time to sort of acclimate.
Yes. I also try to tell my clients, because honestly, repeat clients for Disney Cruise Line is pretty high. Once somebody's been on one, they definitely go back for sure, unless they had a bad experience, which is not very often. Or even like you did and you went back. So It definitely go visit the other kids clubs, because as your children get older, they're going to switch kids clubs. So, you know, they're going to switch to different ones. So you want to go and see what the other ones have to offer. My daughter is now 20, so of course the first one that she was on, it was Peter Pan's pirate ship, but now it's Toy Story, it's Woody's Playground. So it's a big difference, and they change the themes all the time. And when we were just on the Fantasy, we went into the kid club, and they had the Millennium Falcon, it was Star Wars, they had Doctor Strange in another room. So to me, it was fun as an adult to go, you know, feel like I was in Star Wars. So you can experience all that on the day that you board the ship, because you can see all of that. I can't do that right now because I keep telling people I need to borrow somebody's kid so I can experience the kid centers a little bit more. But I can only do it on the first day or anytime that they have an open family open house, which they hold them throughout the ship as well, you know, throughout the week as well.
Yeah, they look really, really, really fun. I did a ship tour once, so that, you know, they take you in the kids' clubs for that. And they're incredible spaces. Like, I'm so jealous of the kids that they get to do.
I am too. I told you, I want to fly the Millennium Falcon.
They're really
and
fun.
And to be, even the wash stations make it fun, you know, like where they have to, you know, wash their hands before they walk into the kids' center. I mean, they're fun. They like little car washes for your hands. It's fascinating, the things that Disney comes up with.
And the kids wear magic bands on the ship. So, you know, Disney World has magic bands for everybody, but on the ship, it's just the kids. And the reason for that is?
so that they can identify, well, a couple reasons. Like if your child has an allergy, that's noted as well. And then also they can identify who your parents are so they can contact you if there's a problem. And also if the child is lost, so any of that sort. It also identifies which muster station they're supposed to go to if there's a chance of an evacuation. So the magic bands do come in handy. They're adorable. Believe me, when my daughter was smaller, we had pagers. So they've come a long way. So the magic bands are super cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, they help identify several different things for the workers to help identify the child.
Yes. It's super handy to help keep track of them. We have some more questions from Britt, I believe is her name. So she has several. They're all good. First one, curious if you schedule any character meet and greets, and if so, how long the actual wait was. I did. I scheduled everything. I want to do everything. So I scheduled the Frozen one, the Princess one. I can't remember if there were some others. But basically, you show up at that time. They give you a ticket, and you get in line. I don't think we waited more than 10 minutes or so. And so that was pretty easy. Is that generally your experience too, Jen?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Once, if you have a ticket, the wait times are not long at all. I mean, to be honest, I believe they give you a 15-minute window. I'm looking at one of my clients right now. It looks like, yes, it's a 15-minute window for the different character meet and greets. So, you know, it, to be honest, it shouldn't be a very long wait if you have a ticket.
Okay. The second question from her is, are there any evening shows you would skip over others to give yourself more time on the ship? So I guess, are there any evening shows you would skip? I think if you're a first time cruiser, you should do all of them.
Correct.
Right. But I assume that for someone like you who's done it multiple times, there may be shows that you do skip now.
But I don't, because I still like the original shows. I don't think I think when we did the 10 night, we did, just because, again, it was so long. It was too long, in my opinion, but others might love it. I know people that do back-to-back cruises and they love that. So I don't think I would skip any of the shows. I think it's just like a movie. When you watch a movie again, you know, you end up seeing different pieces that you don't remember or you didn't notice the first time you saw it. And it's not like I'm cruising every month. You know, my cruises are not that close together. So definitely if I go back, I'd like to go back and see it again. And it changes so often. Disney changes so often. So there's always something different.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd skip the show.
Okay.
I think there's plenty of time, especially sea days, for you to enjoy as much as you can on the ship. Or if you're going to Nassau on that day, that you can definitely see every show.
Yeah. On sea days and Nassau days, you have time to do everything you want. Okay. Okay. Her third question is, where did you eat lunch when you first boarded? And she says, was it at the buffet or what? Okay. So when you first board, there's a delay in getting to your room.
Yes.
Between your boarding time and your room time is a few hours a lot of times. So everyone is looking for somewhere to live with all of their like carry-ons. And so eating is, you know, the most popular thing. So Cabanas, which is the buffet on the ship I was on, is where almost everyone was. And it was super crowded. But what we found was that there was a deli just outside Cabanas, literally just outside, that had nobody at it. And they had really good food. And so we actually opted to go there instead. That's what we did.
I usually go to, my last cruise, it was Enchanted Garden, because I have a food allergy, as I've said many times. So I need to always go to the head waiter so that they're prepared, because when you have a food allergy, you order your food the night before. So I always have the menu for the next night when I leave dinner that evening. So because it's the first day on the ship, I need to order my food first thing as soon as I board the ship. So I always go to this, whatever sit down location is being offered on whatever ship that you're on. And I like to talk to the head waiter and make sure that they are aware of my allergy and that I end up viewing the menu, picking my meal for that evening. And then they always make me something special off the buffet. It is a buffet in that sit down location. However, because it's one of the sit-down places, the chef will make you something different. So that's usually what I personally do. But I have been to Cabanas before, and it, like Shannon said, it is super crowded because that's where everybody goes. And if there's any kind of ship tour going on that day, that particular day with travel agents, that's where they send them as well. So it might have a little bit of extra people if you are a concierge, if you're staying concierge, one of the perks I just want to add is that they will hold your carry-on for you. So when you board the ship, they'll hold on to your carry-on for you so you don't have to walk around the ship lugging all of that.
That is really nice because it does get very heavy having to carry your bags with you. Okay, Britt's fourth question is, did you use the pools? I've heard they're incredibly crowded on the ship. I will tell you, I did not use the pools and they were very crowded. What has your experience been?
We should ask Shannon, how many times does she use the pools, period?
Yes, zero.
No, we have used the pools, especially when my daughter was smaller, because of course she wanted to go down the slide. So we always pack our bathing suits. It's one of the suggestions I give all of my clients, pack your bathing suits in your carry-on bag so you at least can change your clothes and go use the pools. I personally, now that my daughter's older, we like to go to the adult pool and there's usually not a problem. I've never really found that they were feel like they were overly crowded compared to any other cruise line that's out there. I feel that their pools are a little larger than most of the cruise lines out there. So I guess I'm just used to it being crowded a little bit, which is why, again, if you are going to Nassau, is a perfect day to stay on the ship and use the pools and the slide.
Okay, good tips, as usual. All right, her fifth question and her last question. Did you make any special requests beforehand, like to have a certain server or to not share a dining table in the main dining room? I did not. I do not tend to make special requests because I just want to let things happen as they happen. We had great servers and I wanted to share a dining table, so that worked out for us. But if you didn't want to, I suppose that would be good. What are some special requests that you are most familiar with, Jen?
Special requests that, I have requested certain servers. If you happen to have a particular server that you like that you've had before, there's a couple servers that I'm actually friends with on Instagram. So I still keep in contact with them. And definitely if I'm getting ready to go on a cruise, I'll find out which ships that they're on. So if I know that they're there, I can request them. So I've had a lot of clients request certain servers just because they really do enjoy they almost become family by the end of your cruise.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. There's an unexpected emotional connection to the staff.
Yes.
It is, to me, a perk of going on a cruise.
Yeah, I totally agree. In one of my personal experiences, one of the waiters at Cabanas his name was Wendell, and he just went above and beyond, in my opinion, for me, as far as my food allergy goes. And like I said, that last night, you have to eat in the main dining hall. You cannot eat in Cabanas. And the head waiter came to me and said, you know, I understand you really liked Wendell, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yes, I really did. It's sad. I'm not going to see him anymore. And as a surprise, they had him at my table. And Wendell was so nervous because what he had told me was that when they're in training or it's their first cruise, they're in Cabanas. That's where they're like training process, and then they make it up to the main dining hall. So that was a huge compliment for him to be able to come to the main dining hall. And he was so nervous, shaking. And I'm like, Wendell, you're doing great. It's just us, because we had been with him for a couple of days. And he, at the end, you know, he gave me a big hug and he was like, you do not understand how, you know, appreciative he was that I complimented him enough. But I love that Disney accommodated me by let me have Wendell on my last day. So I had that last experience with him, and it wasn't just up in Cabanas. It was really sweet.
Yeah. And sort of along those lines, I think that the magical service that Disney is known for is most obvious on the ship.
Yes.
Most obvious on the ship. Like if you're looking for it in the theme park, you may find it here and there, but it is throughout the ship. Like they're the best cast members that I've ever encountered. So the fact that they did that for you is incredible, but I'm not super surprised because it seems like they're always trying to go above and beyond. And it's one of the reasons that makes them great. Okay. Next person says, is a veranda room worth it? We've kind of talked about that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Next. If you can afford it, then yes.
Yes, sure. Definitely, 100%. And if you're going with other people, if you have certain cabins with verandas that are next to each other, they can open the wall in between, the white wall that's in between the verandas, and you can have one large one. We had four of us together and they opened all four. So we had one really long extended balcony. It was super nice. So the adults sat out there. We all had a nice time. I have a lot of clients that book verandas just for that reason as well. They put their kids to sleep and then the adults go out and sit on the veranda and they have their adult time because their kids are inside sleeping and then they can sit out there and have a good time still together. They don't have to go to bed at 8 o'clock too.
That's right. You don't feel like you're trapped in jail with your kids that are sleeping and you have to be quiet. You can go outside. Okay. That's a good idea. Same person asks, how do you choose which deck to be on?
Ooh, good question. Well, they always say the lower the deck, the better for the motion sickness. I find that to be the opposite. I feel like the lower the deck, I feel like you feel the rumbling of the engines. And so I actually do not like being on deck two. Personally, usually where I will recommend is deck six, or deck seven, only because it's right above. It's like halfway. It's right above where the kids' clubs are going to be. So it's a short jump down to the kids' clubs, or it's a couple rows up to get to the pool. Because the pool, well, depending on what ship you're on, if you're looking at the dream or the fantasy, the pool will be on deck 11. But the kids club start on deck five. So if you're on deck six or seven, you're kind of in the middle. There are some staterooms, if you get ones with verandas, that have an extended veranda. So you could be in that category as well. So I tend to like to be in the middle. Between eight and six is usually where I like to be.
We were on five this last cruise, and it was convenient. I'm sure other decks were too, but we were right by the movie theater and we were on the end where Cabanas is and Palo and I think Tiana's place. Anyway, it was just real easy to get kind of, you know, we didn't have to use the elevator if we didn't want to, because we were sort of in the middle of everything. So that was kind of nice. But I don't know what it would be like to be up higher or down lower, but found it too easy.
Especially if you don't have children, if you're adults only traveling, you might not want to be on the same deck as the kids' clubs because you might hear the kids running up. So just to keep that in mind.
Yeah, we were on the same floor as the kids' clubs, which is ironic since we had no children, but we didn't hear them. But I'm sure.
Well, you were down by the nursery too, so it might not have been quite as loud.
Yeah, maybe so. Mm-hmm. The fact that you have that memorized is amazing to me.
I don't have it memorized. I have the map in front of me, to be honest.
the deck plan, yeah.
Yeah, because I was looking at deck five to see where you were, so yes. Sorry.
The same person's last question is, do you have any tips for cruise check-in? And I want to share my experience with this, and then you'll have a lot more to share. So when the check-in process was something that was stressing me out about this, because this is my first Disney cruise to plan myself and to do the check-in, and I wasn't sure what I needed or even when to check in. And one of my problems was that my passport had to be renewed, and you need that information when you check in. But you told me to go ahead and check in, and that they would allow me to change the passport information once my passport arrived, which is, I'm glad that you told me that. Because after you check in, then you're able to sign up for some of those ticketed events and things like that. And that's when you choose your boarding time to get on the ship. So it is much more involved than a Disney World trip. There's a lot of steps to complete, but you need to do that. The timing of that, I'm unclear about. Can you kind of go into like when to do? No, but how many days out and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it depends on your status level. So if you're platinum, gold, silver, or this is your first time cruise, it's going to depend on your days of when you can actually check in online, as well as book your activities. So if you're platinum, or if you're concierge, you're even sooner. So if you're platinum or gold, you're going to be able to sign in or check in and also book your activities a lot sooner than somebody that's silver or their first time cruising. So it's whatever the date may be, depending on your status level, it is at 12:01 because it's midnight is when it opens up. So the way it works, your cruise has to be paid in full. So if you're a higher status level, your cruise must be paid in full before you can sign in for activities and do your online check-in. I normally, because as a travel agent, I normally book all of the excursions and the activities for my clients, but I do not do the online check-in. Disney discourages us from doing that because they want to make sure that the client completely understands everything that they're signing up for, because there's a lot of understanding when it comes to making sure you have your proper documentation and that you agree to all their terms and conditions. So what I do is I just tell my clients, I'll sign you up for your activities, but as soon as you can on that day, make sure you do your online check-in and then register your children for the kids clubs as well. It makes it go a lot easier on your boarding day. You want to try to get that early boarding time. Two things. If you are going from Port Canaveral and you're staying at Disney World and you, or you're flying in MCO that day, but mainly if you're staying at Disney World and you decide to use Disney's transportation, their pickup time is the same. So it's going to be between 11:30 and 12 o'clock. So if you receive an early boarding time, say you receive 11, you know, or 11:45, and Disney will pick you up at 12, you're not going to be at the port in time for your, you're going to be past the time, which is fine. They'll let you on when you get there, but you're missing out on that opportunity to get on the ship early if that is your true goal. If you're doing a 3-night cruise, you want to get there as early as you can because you want to get every, as much in on, of that ship as you can. So get on that ship early, enjoy the pool, enjoy all the activities, the food, everything. So I would recommend that you do private transfers over to the port, because then that can get you there earlier than Disney can. Just my personal opinion.
Yes, you have a lot more control over it when you have a private transfer.
The only time I use Disney transfers is if somebody flies in the same day as the cruise, only because Disney knows if your flight's delayed and they'll get you there. Personally, I recommend that everybody flies in the night before, especially if you're coming from up north and you're going out in the winter. You never know what's going to happen with flights.
Yeah, absolutely. And even like we drove and we still drove in the night before. It's just safer that way. Okay, next person's question is, how do Disney cruises compare to other cruise companies? Is the extra money worth it? And I wanted to share something that I overheard on the ship. We were eating at Palo, and there was a gentleman next to us who I recognized in the Facebook group. One of the perks of cruises is that there's Facebook groups. You get to know people. And he was in the Facebook group, and he was very enthusiastic about cruising, but he had never done a Disney cruise before. And he was talking to his friends, and he said, we're at the end of the cruise and I'm trying to figure out if it's worth it. And he goes, so he started going through all the criteria, and he said the food is definitely some of the best I've ever had. It is definitely worth it. The service is incredible. And he said lots of things, and he goes, but the thing that really puts me over the edge about making it worth it is this ship is nice. Like, it just looks nice. Like, every single like light fixture and detail, and it looks so incredible. And when you're at a port like Nassau that's super busy, there is no question that the Disney cruise ships are nice. And so I just thought it was funny to hear from him, or interesting to hear from him, because he is a frequent cruiser and that was his first Disney cruise, that he thought it was worth it. So what are your thoughts?
I get that question a lot, actually, especially families of four or greater, because they just, the price, they get sticker shock when it comes to the Disney cruise. So I do get, because they're trying to compare it to, say, a Carnival. I try to tell people it's apples and oranges. You cannot compare Disney Cruise Line to any other cruise line that's out there. Each cruise line has their own unique characteristics. And you honestly, and I say this all the time, you get what you pay for. So if you're going to pay a little bit more for this cruise, you're going to get the service that you paid for. There's no comparison. I personally, on the other cruise lines, I'm not a big casino person. I'm not a big gambler. I'm not a smoker. So the casinos are not important to me. On Disney Cruise, you're not going to have a casino, because that where the casino normally would be on a ship is where all the kids clubs are. So you're not going to have that. I don't miss it. I'm okay with it. I don't need the gambling, but then you have some people that like the casinos, so they're going to want the other types of ships. The kids clubs are you can't compare them. I've been on Carnival and I've been on Royal Caribbean both. I think the larger Royal Caribbean ships accommodate families a little bit more. The Oasis class, I think, is more of a family-oriented ship when it comes to Royal Caribbean, but they still do not compare to what the kids can do on on Disney. You know, they play with, you know, they meet the characters. They have so many activities throughout the day. When my daughter was little, they made Flubber. I don't know if they still do that or not. So hopefully somebody will tell me. But it's just stuff like that that they do for the children is above and beyond. And you don't get that on the other cruise ships. I'm not saying that the other cruise ships have bad children's centers. I have had clients and friends and family that say their kids love them, but they have not been on a Disney cruise. So I think once you've been on a Disney cruise, I don't think you'll probably go back.
Yes, that is how I feel at this moment about my own future cruise plans. I just don't know if I could go back. they're just so much nicer. Christine asks, would a Disney cruise be as exciting for kids as a Disney World trip? My thought is that it's a little bit apples and oranges, right? They're not the same thing. It's a different pace for sure.
Correct. Two experiences that my I had clients, one, they went on the Star Wars. They did Land and Sea. They went on the Star Wars. And the grandparents went along as well. When they got off the ship, the grandmother called me and said, the kids literally cried. They did not want to leave. They did not want to leave the waiters. They had so much fun on the ship. They didn't want to get off. And they had been at Disney World several times. But the cruise was the best part. Recently, I just had another client that she didn't know that her children would like, she didn't think they would go in the kids club. She thought they'd stay with them the whole time. She didn't think that it would compare to their trips at Disney World. And she was so surprised. She said from now on that they felt like they could relax and have a nice vacation and the kids still had fun as well. So I feel the cruises are a little bit more relaxing than Disney World, and it still gives you that Disney feel because you're still going to see Mickey. You're still going to see the characters. You're still going to have phenomenal service. So I feel like it gives you the experience of Disney, but in more of a relaxed setting. The kids still can have fun, wear off their little energy in the little kids club. But then the adults, you know, you can sit down and relax and read a book too. And I'm not saying pawn your children off on any kind of kids club, but once you see the activities that they do with the children, you can't compare. Like the first time that we took our daughter, I was like, well, I feel bad. I don't want her being without us. But then when I saw everything that she could do, I'm like, how can I compare to do-si-doing with, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? You know, I can't compare it with that. So what am I going to do? Take her to the pool? But I felt like she was really having a good time, but wasn't in daycare, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And felt like my husband and I, we had a nice time as well. We still all enjoyed each other in the company at the dinner. We still saw the shows together, but her having that activity during the day made a big difference. She loved it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It allows everyone a chance to have fun and relax. And I think family vacations can be kind of difficult when you're together 24/7 in a single hotel room nonstop with no breaks from each other. Like I think that's a difficult thing to do for anybody. But with cruises, you get a little bit of each. You get to be together, you get to be apart. I think multi-generational, it's great. There were a lot of grandparents and, you know, three generational families on the ship. So
because to be honest, taking your grandparents to Disney World, they can be exhausted. I mean, some of them need scooters, you know, by the third day, they're ready, you know, they need to sit down. I mean, it could, you know, if they're not used to that fast pace, they could be exhausted. Where this, everybody has fun. Another thing too, is if you have children that are really far apart in age, this is perfect as well, because your older one's not stuck riding Dumbo and your younger one's not stuck waiting for the older one on Rock and Roller Coaster. In this case, the older one, even if they're teens, the vibe and, you know, the teen centers are just, they have their own pool. They're so different. So they're in their space and then the little one's in their space. Neither one of them are waiting for the other one to ride a certain ride, or the older one's not stuck riding Dumbo. I mean, so if you have children that have a big gap in age, this is perfect for you too.
Yeah. My kids are 7 years apart, so it's always tricky to plan around different interests. Okay, M asks, she says, I would love some information on some of the adult-only experiences on the ship. My husband and I may be doing a cruise without the kids for our 10-year anniversary. So We've talked a little bit about this, but I wanted to talk a little bit more since she asked the question. The activities I mentioned that you can look at in the app, there are many that say 18 plus. Or
yes.
So there are lots of adult-only things. In fact, it got a lot dirtier in some of the events than I expected, but they can do that on the adult events. So, you know, there's a pub that has trivia and games, and there's piano bars. We did not encounter children much at all because we had the later.
Yeah, we didn't either.
We didn't. I mean, they're obviously everywhere. And if you're meeting characters, you're going to be in line with kids. And if you're at the shows that are for the whole family, you're going to be with kids. But like at dinner, you know, we didn't encounter kids. And so it is whatever you want it to be, I think.
Yeah, because you have the Cove Cafe that's adult only. You have the Cove Quiet Pool that's adult only. You know, so even if you want to just lay by the pool, if you just go to one of the pool areas, there's plenty to do for adults as well. And you don't have the kids all running around. So yes, for sure. And sign up for the mixologies or the tastings. And there's always, like Shannon said, there's always a Facebook group for every cruise out there. And some of the Facebook groups will sign up for group drink events. So like when we were on the Fantasy the last time, we were in O'Gills and we paid a flat rate and we mingled with other people that were in the Facebook group, but you paid a flat rate per person and it was unlimited drinks for a certain period of time. And we had a great time with that. And it was just adults only. They closed off the bar and it was just people from that particular Facebook group. So if you're going on a cruise, definitely search to see if there's a group out there that are going on the same sailing, because they might have activities set up as well already that you could sign up for.
Yep, that is exactly right. Our group did that. They had their own mixology group. Okay, so Leslie, she says, did you get the pass that lets you use the spa facilities? I'm trying to figure out how limited it is and if we're likely to get one because we're boarding last. Okay.
Okay. I see
so
what she's saying.
This is a Rainforest Pass. Jen's, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So it's called a Rainforest Pass and you can sign up for it as soon as you get on the ship. We did get it on this cruise. They actually had a sign-up person in a meeting room in the ship. You didn't have to go to the spa to do it. It was just in a meeting room right off the lobby. And we were friends, but we signed up for the couples pass because it's cheaper that way. And when you have the Rainforest Pass, it gave us access to the heated ceramic seats that you talked about earlier, I think, and a couple of saunas and some rain shower type of things. I will say we did not make good use of it in our case, but on a bigger ship, I would 100% do it because it has a good view.
Well, yeah, because on the Disney Dream and the Fantasy, it has the hot tubs as well out on the deck. So, okay, it's twofold. First of all, you can purchase a one-day pass before you are on the ship, but you can only purchase the one-day pass. And then if you want to do multiple day passes, you have to wait till you board the ship to do that. And I believe they only sell somewhere in the 40s. I guess depends on which ship that you're on. I honestly have never had a problem, no matter my boarding time, buying it. I mean, I don't know what time you boarded that you purchased yours. I don't think I've ever had a difficulty buying the multi-day pass. I like it. I personally like it. You know, my husband loves saunas, so he likes to use the sauna. I like to lay on the heated towel because I'm always cold. I'm a typical Floridian who's cold all the time. So I like to lay on the heated seats. We like to go. And again, it's you don't have the kids all running around as well. We would do the one with the scrub. So when you're in the showers, you could use the scrub. We practically used ours every day. So when we got, you know, when we returned from the island, we would go there before we got ready for the evening. So my husband is 6'4". So the showers in the rooms are not the best for him. So, and what you have full use of the locker room facilities when you have the Rainforest Pass as well. So every evening, my husband would shower at the Rainforest in the locker rooms of the spa. So he would take his little toiletry kit with him and his change of clothes. And they have toiletry items in the shower as well, because it's the same things that they would put in your cabins as well. And he would go down there and he would shower, but he had plenty of elbow room, wasn't hitting the walls, shower was above his head, not hitting his chest, you know. And then when he came out, he dried off, put his, you know, he wouldn't put his evening clothes on, but he just put something quick on and then come back to the room. Plus, being in a family of girls, there's no interference with the whole getting ready of two girls. So he felt it gave him a little more space, gave us some space. You know, he wasn't hitting his elbows and we were all happy. So that's why my husband personally likes the Rainforest Pass, mainly for the locker room usage.
Yeah, the showers. The showers and the staterooms are barely taller than me. and your husband's way taller than that.
Yeah. So. 6'4", the shower hits him in the chest.
So. Yes. Yeah. That would be uncomfortable. Okay. There are several more questions, but I'm going to narrow it down to two more because we have already been talking for so long. The next question is, did you participate in the fish extender? I'm on the fence about doing it. This trip, we did not. So let me explain fish extenders for people that don't know. There's a hook outside the staterooms that looks like a fish, and you can hang a pocket or some sort of organizer type thing from it, and people will deliver presents to your room. This is something you would, like, in the Facebook group that we've been talking about, you would coordinate. Yes, I want to be in the fish extender group. And then there would be a list of staterooms of people exchanging gifts. Am I on the right path so far, yeah. Jen? Okay.
And there's adult and family both. So okay. If adult. You wanted to do it only or family, you could.
So if you choose to do the fish extender, you would sign up likely on a message board or a Facebook group. You would bring something to hang from your fish hook outside your room, and then you would bring gifts to distribute to the other people participating in your group. In theory, I think this is a really fun idea. Like, I'm super obsessed with stockings and gifts and extra magic. And when the kids were little, the Tinkerbell visits to the Disney World rooms, like, I'm really into it. But it's a lot of stuff to have to transport, and it's a lot of work when you're on the ship. So yeah. I opted out this time, but for a lot of people, it's a lot of fun.
Yes. I think if you're doing the smaller sailings, I don't think it would probably be worth it, because again, you're spending, I hear this from people all the time, and people, when I've sailed with them, they'll be like, oh my gosh, we spent half our day trying to pass out these stinking gifts, you know? I think it gets to be a chore after a while, because you're running around all over the ship. And if you're not, and again, on the shorter ones, you're not real familiar with the ship yet. If you're not familiar with where you're going, I think if you're a repeat cruiser, it's probably a lot easier because you know where everything is already. But if you're not familiar with how to navigate, you know, what cabins are on starboard side versus port, or when you're on the ship, are you going forward or aft? So if you're not familiar with all of that, you could get yourself pretty lost on the ship. They are cute. I've seen some and received some really cute items. I personally don't do them anymore. It's just not something that interests me. I like the magnets and putting the magnets on the door, but I'm not about running around the ship passing off gifts. And it's hard too, because I hear a lot of people and I read a lot of message boards where the gifts were confiscated when they went through security. Like, you can't do candles. And you know, certain items you are not permitted to take on board. And some people don't realize that. And here they bring all of these items to do on the fish extender and they can't even get them on board. And yeah. I'm all about keeping my luggage under a certain amount of weight. So I need it for my clothes instead of trying to pass on all the gifts and everything. So
yeah. I think it's definitely optional, and if you don't want to participate, to keep things simple, then it's fine. it can really complicate things, and you don't have to if you don't want to. Okay, so the last question is, what transportation option would you recommend for someone doing Disney World before or after the cruise? DCL transfer seems pretty pricey. Would you Uber or rent a vehicle, or what would you suggest? I assume that they are talking about going to Port Canaveral, which is, of course, a very popular place to board a Disney cruise.
My understanding is Uber's pretty high. I personally have not used it, so I wouldn't know. So my understanding is Uber to the port is pretty high. I would do private transfers. I would either use Orlando Transportation by Mike or Florida Magical Tours. Those are probably be the two that I would suggest. I definitely would suggest private transfers over Disney, especially if you only have two in your family, the Disney will be the cheaper option. But again, as I said earlier, you're going to get to the ship later. So if getting to the ship is top priority, then do private transfer. If you have a family of four plus, doing private transfers are going to be cheaper than doing Disney transfers. So, and if you're going to, I don't think I'd rent a car because paying to park at the port can be pretty pricey. I always park at the port, but I live in Florida. So I don't know if I would pay to rent a car on top of the parking fees at the port. I think it would be a lot more convenient just to have a private car take you to and from. But yeah, I would only book Disney transfers again, like I said earlier, if you're flying in the day of the cruise, number one, and if you're a family of two or smaller.
And you also mentioned if you have an earlier boarding time for the ship, then you might want to do the private car. So
correct. Yes.
Okay.
And at a personal experience, Disney left my luggage at the Polynesia one time. So I like to keep my luggage with me. So I think I would probably just, if I didn't live in Florida and have my own car, I think I would probably stick with private transfers.
Okay. Good advice. All right. Well, we have spent a lot of time talking about this, so I appreciate you sharing. You're always a wealth of knowledge, and in large part due to your help, I had a great cruise this last time, and so I appreciate it. And I was so excited when I got home and talking about that my son, who, as I mentioned previously, did not do well on a cruise. He said, "I want to go on a cruise. I want to go this year on the cruise." So I converted this child who does not like to do much of anything. And so it looks like my son and I will be going on a cruise. So
it's a great vacation for the entire family. But like, you had a bad experience. So I think having this one has changed your mind. And like anything, I think you need to give things a try twice. And I'm glad your second time was so much better.
It was. Worked out really well. And I can see why people like it so much now. But you are a travel agent who helps lots of people book trips. So if people want to work with you to book their own cruise or other type of trip, what's the best way to contact you?
You can either go to Perfect Story Travel. You can go right to my page. So if you did PerfectStoryTravel/Jen, and Jen is with one N, just J-E-N. And then, or you can email me at Jen, J-E-N, at PerfectStoryTravel.com. I book all cruise lines, not just Disney, and I've pretty much sailed on all of them. I'm getting ready to sail on one of the newer ones that I have not sailed on before, MSC, coming up. So I'm curious to see how that one compares to the others. Oh, but on that topic, if you don't let me say real quick, just to give you the status level of Disney, I signed up to cruise on MSC, and they'll let you match your status levels with other cruise lines. And when I say status levels, it depends on how many times you've cruised. You earn a certain status level with each cruise line. And so when you book the cruise with them, you enter your status level from another cruise line and they match it. So when I talked to the lady on the phone and I said, "Well, I've cruised several times on Royal Caribbean and on Disney. Here's my status with both." I said, "Which one would give me a higher status level with your cruise line? Because they're both pretty much equal as the number of cruises I've sailed." And she told me Disney. She said because of Disney's status of the type of cruise line that they are, that gave me a higher status level with their cruise line than what I have with Royal Caribbean. So it just goes to show that I feel Disney really gives the service, and the other cruise lines, I think, know that too.
Yeah, it converts to a higher value in their eyes.
Correct.
So, okay, well, I will link all of your contact information in the show notes if people want to get in contact with you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I hope you liked that extra long discussion with Jen about Disney Cruise Line and found it helpful. I do have a quick tip of the day in case the tips that we shared during this episode weren't enough. We have one that I think will be helpful for any kind of Disney-related trip. This one was sent in by Jennifer M. And she says, "I have found your podcast so helpful as we plan a Disney World trip. I'm not sure if this is a quick tip, but I wanted to share an idea for a unique autograph book that also helps build lots of excitement for a trip with kids. The short version is my kids drew pictures of the characters and I had those drawings printed into a very adorable book. The detailed version, my 5-year-old daughter heard from a friend about Art Hub for Kids on YouTube, and she drew a few characters following those guides. My 7-year-old son then did a few. Soon, They were making up their own versions of characters, and we kept tucking the drawings into a folder. We then somehow decided that all three kids, because my four-year-old daughter decided to join in the fun, would do drawings of as many characters as they could think of. We looked at which ones are often in the parks and prioritized those. I then snapped photos of their drawings on my iPhone and assembled them into a book using Blurb. You could also use Shutterfly or whatever service you prefer. We left spaces to add photos and for characters to sign on pages next to the drawings of the characters we anticipated meeting. If we don't meet them, we'll just add trip pictures that will work with it. This has been an incredibly fun project, and they are so proud of it. Working on it has built so much excitement about the trip. For us, it will also make a really meaningful keepsake and a beautiful personal coffee table book that we can display after our vacation. Hopefully the characters will get a kick out of it too. So this is an incredible tip. Such a creative idea. I've never heard of anything like this. And Jennifer did send along some pictures. So I will include those in the show notes and on Instagram so that you can see how it looks. So thank you for sharing that, Jen. I appreciate it. I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information, you can check the show notes in your podcast app, or you can go to the website www.prepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, and look for episode 201. And until next time, I will see you on the site.